It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. My next guest is a hip-hop and graffiti artist based in Des Moines who goes by the name Asfate. He's got a new album in the works, the first from a new collaboration called The Main Dudes. The album is a bloodied-up conclusion. It's slated for release this summer. And let's listen to a track. This is called Miranda's Touch.
Police officers are seldom accountable for their own actions. Public executioners, hangmen with badges. Just guns instead of rope stomp. Watch out for the popo, not just because they lock you up, but because they have a license to kill like the bo- Oh, so, seven.
That's an act of greed.
There's a hungry beast outside and we keep on feeding it. Guess a badge makes one man's life more important than another's. Just how it is, not how it should be. I've seen enough evidence, the proof is in the pudding. Not where it should be. In the hands of rational individuals, where it could be. Simply put,
Bill Cosby drugged and raped.
What is wrong with you? Did you get picked out in high school? Nice shoes. Sometimes you are so vain, I bet. Think this song is about.
Call 911 and call the answering machine.
All right, just a sample from Miranda's Touch. That'll be on the new album, A Bloodied Up Conclusion, slated for release this summer. And Asfate is here with us. Hello.
How you doing out there?
Great. Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
And last time we talked, we focused on your work as a graffiti artist and an educator. But hip hop is really your home. Tell me a little bit about your history in hip hop.
Man, I've been emceeing for over 20 plus years now. And so actually, when it comes to the primary four elements of hip hop, being DJing, b-boying, graffiti writing, and emceeing, emceeing is actually my first love. So that's what really introduced me into each of the other elements. And it's what caused me to start collecting vinyl records. It's what caused me to want to start breaking to the breakbeats that I was hearing on the vinyl records, and ultimately to get into the language of hip hop known as graffiti writing.
And this new collaboration, I mean, this is your seventh album, but this is your first album with the collaboration that you're calling The Main Dudes. Tell me about how this came about and who your partners are.
So the person that you just heard in that sample clip was actually the partner of mine, Fenimore, and he acts as the other main dude in this collaboration. So he's the other MC on that album. It's himself, myself, and then the entire album is produced by Bat Sauce, who has also produced work with Lady Daisy, Hellscent, which is another Galapagos 4 artist, which is the label that I'm on based out of Chicago. He's also done work with people like George Clinton and just a myriad of music influences over the course of several years.
So we heard a little bit of Miranda's Touch, which the name of the song is very clearly inspired by the Miranda rights. You have the right to remain silent. But tell me more about the inspiration for that track. What did that grow out of?
So we started working on this album just out of the blue, probably 3 or 4 years ago. And right around that time, there was a heavy succession of, killings of unarmed black and brown men and also white people as well. But you saw a heavy influx of it being publicized specifically regarding black and brown men. Everything from Tamir Rice to Sterling to Brown to Kevin Garner. So at that time, we were kind of responding out of the frustration of what we were seeing on the news every day. I myself had just spoken at a march after one of the verdicts deciding not to indict an officer in one of those cases. And so a lot of that was spawned from the frustration that we were feeling at that time. That's not the tone of the entire album, but that definitely kicked off the inspiration for that song. And then I think we were feeling so down and out and kind of dark after having recorded that song that immediately we were like, okay, let's get back on something fun. So let's just flip and just rhyme and come off and kick it the way we normally do as MCs. So, yeah, that doesn't really undertone the entire album, but certainly that inspiration came from the frustration we were feeling at that time.
Well, tell me a little bit about some of the other songs on the album, some of the other tone. I mean, there's we've got some 80s video game heroes interacting. Tell me about this.
So the main dudes, if you will, the best perspective I could give you is think old school 80s video game heroes, Double Dragon, Jimmy and Billy, you know, your two most irresponsible characters somehow coming to save the day and save the planet. That's what you're dealing with on the main dudes. So it's a very lighthearted album. It's very straightforward and honest as well. You know, my partner Fenimore at the time, the other main dude, he was going through some things personally, and so you hear sort of the anguish of that coming out in a lot of the music. But at the core of everything, when we first all started rhyming, it was all about getting together in ciphers, being able to best the other person in front of you, everybody coming to show and prove and hold their own. And so a lot of what you hear throughout the record is that very carefree, very heavy rhyme laden approach to just really getting busy and showcasing our skill in terms of the ability to rhyme.
Well, and so much of the MC culture is about freestyling and one-upping each other and that kind of thing. How does the music change when you put it on an album? It's kind of frozen in time there.
It does, and while I do pride myself on being a freestyle specialist, the album we definitely sat down and wrote. You know, we definitely wanted to make sure that we put a little bit more thought into what was going on there. Now, there might be some background approaches or some ad-libs that were freestyled there on the spot, but for the most part, we did sort of play the music, allow the music to generate the inspiration from us internally in there, you know, versus really just tend to write themselves. I have a philosophy that, like, if a song doesn't automatically start to write itself when you start to play the music, then maybe it's not time to write that song. So for everything that came out of us, it was the beat produced by Bat Sauce that really pushed that out of us at that point.
What has recording this album been like? I mean, again, we listened to Miranda's Touch. Man. I can only imagine that was an incredibly intense song to produce, but the whole thing sounds like a pretty intense experience.
It was. It almost killed me. My partner Fenimore is the worst influence on earth. When I first met this person some years ago, I was actually warned about him. You know, someone we had just performed a show for my other group, Maxilla Blue. And, you know, people were coming back to my house to, you know, just relax a little bit, unwind, decompress, work on some graffiti and that sort of thing. And I just remember someone being like, man, he's with me, but you may want to leave him here. He's kind of crazy. And and I happen to look over, this dude's tearing the hell out of a phone booth in front of a venue.
Oh, and
for some strange reason, even my wife was like, yeah, you know, I don't know about this guy. But for some strange reason, I was like, you know what? I have to create a project with him. And here we are years later, and I'm actually really happy with where it turned out.
You mentioned your love of vinyl, and of course, it's not new news that vinyl has made a tremendous resurgence, although many people who listened to this program were in vinyl the first time around. So tell me what it is about a vinyl record that sparks your imagination in such a different way than listening to music and interacting with music any other way.
Well, you know, there's the run-of-the-mill responses that you get from people about the sound on vinyl being a lot warmer, thicker, more vibrant, and that sort of thing. And I guess I believe that all of that holds true. You know, I've talked to some audiophiles that tend to have a difference of opinion these days. But I used to go around espousing the same sort of thing. Well, it just sounds so much better on vinyl. But the truth of the matter is, I've just always been in love with the idea of those little grooves and little piece of metal, that needle running through that and creating all these wondrous sounds. And my mother, when I was younger, was into all types of music. She had a very eclectic collection. So everything from Simon and Garfunkel to Tracy Chapman to Aretha Franklin to, you know, Sly and the Family Stone, Gap Band. And so hearing all these different types of music has influenced me over the years. And now at this point, I have over 3,000 records. If I travel to another state or I travel to another country, I'm generally going to have a hefty expense regarding my luggage because I'm bringing back a lot of vinyl records as well. So when I started to create music, I knew that was going to be a goal of mine. You know, no matter what, it didn't matter how well they sold. I didn't care. I knew that I wanted to be on vinyl records. And so as of the second volume of Maxilla Blue, which was really my primary presentation to the world in terms of music and as a hip hop trio, as of that second volume, we started to create vinyl. So volume 2 was a vinyl record. Volume 3 of Maxilla Blue was a vinyl record. When I released my solo, which is known as Closed Doors to an Open Mind on Galapagos 4 in 2015, that was a vinyl record. And then Bat Sauce, who produced this entire Main Dudes album, you know, he's been around longer than us. Bat Sauce is in his 50s, and he's been killing it on the music scene for quite a while, both in Europe and here in the States. He's an avid vinyl collector. So when I toured with him, and we toured the West Coast back in, I think that was 2012, we're stopping everywhere just to, like, early before we can even get to the venue in different states and cities, just to make sure we have time to dig for vinyl.
Well, it feels like in this age of digital music, there's an even more divergence, not just about the sound of vinyl versus mm-hmm. the sound of music delivered digitally, but because we have access to so much music all the time, we can stream a playlist, it's on in the background for so many people, it's kind of more of a reflex than a thoughtful action in many ways.
Yeah.
But vinyl, you have to be involved in that. Do you think that's part of the draw for you?
I think it could be. And the one thing about a vinyl record, when I come into my house and I see my collection of records and I see that I actually have vinyl with my name on it, there's something so much more special about that than to walk into an area where there are a whole bunch of CDs and you maybe see some burned CD that your name is on, or to look in a file folder on a particular computer and see, you know, 1,000 different files in there, and oh yeah, 10 of those files happen to be yours. That doesn't have the same special feel to it. So I do think you have hit the nail on the head there with something else being to the element of it being on vinyl and existing in that plane.
Well, and all right, speaking of having your name on it, let's talk a little bit about your name.
Oh, here we go.
Right, as Fate is obviously not your given name.
Yeah, yeah.
So tell me about why you feel like it's important to have a different name, a pseudonym that you perform under, that is your identity as a performer and an artist.
I think it's a couple of things. One, you know, being a graffiti writer, there is just a natural inclination for anonymity and to be careful of pairing who you are in one realm with who you are in another realm, lest it causes some sort of legal trouble for you, you know. So who your government given name is, pairing that with the graffiti writing name that is going up and doing artful work, but artful work that's considered as vandalism, can cause you to get into this long time habit of never allowing those two worlds to cross, if you will. Secondly, what's in the name? You know, there's so many times, you know, they say be careful of meeting your idols or people that you're fans of because you end up meeting them and it turn out to be jerks, you know. I've seen that happen quite often, and I've seen people who I maybe looked up to in terms of having a certain level of skill when I take the stage before, after them, or with them. One, their character doesn't match up with the idea you had of them, but then often their skill level doesn't even match up, you know. And so I'm less enthused about what someone's name is than the actions that come out of what they do. I want to see what you bring to the table. And so the magic that I create really doesn't have anything to do with my name. If you witness me on stage or if you're standing in front of a wall that I painted, you will feel the intensity there. So how I decide to label it is kind of trivial, in my opinion.
And does it allow a real separation between your personal identity and your professional identity too? Do you use it in that way?
I do. It's getting tougher and tougher, you know, with interviews like this. I mean, I wouldn't have it any other way. It's a good problem to have, but it does get tougher and tougher, and you understand, you know, in one hand you want to respect the media giving you an opportunity to have a voice on their platform. And so you don't want to trivialize it by, you know, making a joke or a mockery of the whole thing. But it's just not really that big a night. It's not that big of a deal for me to be able to walk everywhere and people recognize that who they've heard or who they've seen create this work is the same person that they're sitting next to in this office or the same person they're sitting next to on this bus. So I do enjoy the separation. There have been instances where there have been times where where like we may be on a message board and we will see that people who are fans of the music are arguing back and forth about the details of the group. You know, people have said, hey, there's four or five MCs in the group Maxilla Blue. I really don't like this one, but the other one's pretty good. Now, the whole time I'm sitting here laughing because I'm the only one rhyming on that entire project. So you're basically telling me sometimes I suck, but sometimes you really, really dig me. But you're thinking these are different people all the while. When I see an interaction like that go on, I actually enjoy it to the extent that I won't chime in and correct it. I like that. It's like when you create artwork and people ask you, what's that mean? I hate getting into that because I feel like when you tell someone what artwork means, you're robbing them of the ability to imagine what it means, and it means whatever comes to mind for them. And so in that same sense, I like the idea that someone doesn't quite know what the hell they're talking about when they're discussing me, my history, and my exploits. And so they begin to imagine and create things. Well, as they create, that's new magic coming into the world. And I have no problem with that.
So last time we talked, and we only have about a minute left, we talked about the work that you were doing with the Des Moines Public Schools, the Central Campus, and helping students express themselves through graffiti art. Is that a project that continues for you?
Yes, ma'am. We have to relocate some things. We ran into a bit of a snag here recently, so we're going to relocate. In terms of the enthusiasm for the program, that's definitely still underway. The kids are still great. In fact, the last program we had last fall was the most participation we've had as of yet. So that's still on an incline. It's just in terms of making sure that we're doing things safely. You know, sometimes the classes are taking place around like railroads and things of that sort. So we want to make sure that we're doing things in the interests of the safety of the kids as well as their development and artwork. I actually have an upcoming project April 12th. A Day in the Arts is a program going on at Hanawalt Elementary School in Valley Junction, where I'll be working with fifth graders to create some artwork for a wall they have facing the bus area there. So that's upcoming. And yes, the programs will continue. And yeah, we're never going to stop rocking in terms of this graffiti thing.
As Fate, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you. Thank you. Peace.
Des Moines-based hip-hop and graffiti artist As Fate. He's got a new album coming out this summer, A Bloodied Up Conclusion by the Main Dudes. We're going to go out with an older song of his. It's called Open Mind from the album Closed Doors to an Open Mind. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe.